All right. I would like to ask you a question. The hymn we just sang, 631. I don't know if whether or not you can memorize it. Let me ask you. If you can memorize stanza one, you can memorize from stanza 1 to 3. Please raise your hand. Only one? I'm afraid to test you. Let me tell you a story. Let me ask you another question, by the way. We have a very high hymn among us. What miracle, what mystery. Our brother Witness Lee in 1994, he wrote this hymn. We were sent during the New Year conference that year. I can also tell you at that time, he was sick. He was under attack of the enemy. So it was not easy for him to release the message at that time. He asked Brother Minoru to share at that time. In that conference, most of the message was shared by Brother Minoru. At the end, Brother Lee came in. He spoke about 3 to 5 minutes. That word is very precious, very rich. It was mystical, it was profound, it was short, it's worth our entering in. That short message is now in the exhibition room in Taipei. When the saints come to the exhibition room of the Lord's Recovery, they will see that quotation from Brother Lee, spoken in 1994. At that time, he was under attack by the enemy. For 3 months, he couldn't minister. Then in May that year, we heard that he has recovered. He will minister in the Memorial Day conference. So we called Brother Lee, asking whether or not we can come see him. Because before that, we already built up a routine of coming once every 6 months to visit him from 84 to 89, because Brother Lee was in Taiwan. He brought the churches in Taiwan into a new practice, a new condition. So we do not want to lose that fellowship with Brother Lee. Therefore, after 1989, we share with him that we will come to visit you every 6 months. So every 6 months, we will come to visit Brother Lee to have fellowship. So that year, 94 May, we came to his house. He shared with us. And then later on, it became the book, where it's worth your pursuing, which is the high peak of the revelation and the reality of the body of Christ. He shared with us several times. He shared with us about the divine revelation, how it started from Brother Ni, and then how it developed through him, and when he, and how he reached the high peak in 1994. Of course, you know, the content is God become man, so that man may become God in life and nature, but not in the Godhead. To build up the body of Christ, consummating the new Jerusalem. In that fellowship, he heard that we brothers know how to, we can memorize the hymn, What Miracle, What Mystery. Then he said, sing it to me, sing it to me. After we sang it, he was so happy. He said, I give you one more hymn. That is just this hymn, which is hymn 631. He said, I hope you can memorize this hymn. Why do I choose this hymn? Because that's the content of this message. The Pearl Gates, the story of the Pearl Gates is in this hymn. We will enter into details later. Brother Lee reminds us that you must memorize this hymn. If I would know Christ's risen power, I must ever love the cross. Life from death alone arises. There's no gain except by loss. loss. If no death, no life. If no death, no life. Life from death alone arises. If no death, no life. That's the whole story of the Christian life. It's a story of no death, no life. The frequency of this happening, the more it happens, the more we will grow in life. If we rarely have this experience, then we won't have much growth. I don't know if your brother or sister have paid attention to this. Of course, when Brother Lee shared this, he did not share that openly. But Brother Lee had mentioned, one time Brother Lee was talking about a brother who was an elder in the church. That was in a private fellowship. He said he did not grow for decades. He was an elder, consider that. He was a faithful, laboring elder, but for decades, he did not grow in life. Based on what can Brother Lee say that? Based on what observation can he say that? And when Brother Lee said he did not grow in life, have you thought about yourself? How about me? How much growth in life have we had? According to us, we think, oh, growing in life is if you don't me, now you me. Originally, you're not that given, now you are very given. Originally, you don't pay price, but now you pay price. We think that faithfulness, let me call it faithfulness for now. We often say, oh, we don't know when the Lord come back, whether or not we will be overcomers. Consider that. We have given our whole life to the Lord. Although, I really hope, we all hope that we will be overcomers, right? But listen to this. Later on, I will get into the burden of this message. But I want to share first, in that Memorial Day conference, in the past Memorial Day conference, did you remember there was a message on attending to the our resurrection? Philippians 3, Paul says, that I may also attend to the our resurrection from the dead. The brother who gave the message at that time, he referred to Brother Lee's question in giving this message. He says, is this our resurrection something in the future or is it something today? Of course, you know that it's not easy to answer this question. So people are afraid to answer future. But today, have you attended to our resurrection? Look at yourself. It doesn't look like it. But our Brother Lee stated firmly, say if you did not attend today, you won't attend on that day. Every day we should attend to our resurrection. If we don't attend today, then that day we won't attend. Let me share more. At the end of Brother Lee's ministry, that's where his burden is. If today we are not, then on that day we won't be. This time we pursue the application of the interpretation of the New Jerusalem to the seeking believers. Yesterday, we saw the message one in series one that was talking about the gold, the base, the city is pure gold, the street is pure gold, right? We were talking about gold. But today, if you're not gold, on that day, you won't be New Jerusalem. Because New Jerusalem, the miniature is the initial stage, is the coming kingdom. It's in the coming kingdom. It's the coming millennial kingdom. It is the overcomers who are built into God's temple. So if today you are not, then on that day you won't be. So is your living goal? Are you living according to divine nature? Are you living according to God's nature, his being? Brother Lee said, the application according to that golden nature, it is simple, rather simple. But the difficult is the pearl gates, the pearl. The deeper experience is the pearl. Now, in 1994, when we were in his house, he asked us to memorize that hymn. Stanza 2 says, if I will have Christ form within me, pay attention to the word, form within me, I must breathe my final breath. Consider this whole day, have you died completely? Or this whole day, you are most of time, you are living carelessly. I would say you live according to yourself. The clearest example is the couples, the marriage life. Are you very careless in your marriage life? Your demeanor, your attitude, your reaction? Those who know you the most, we often say, is your spouse, right? According to your spouse's knowledge of you, is that your old self, or does your spouse know, appreciate that you are pearl gates, or you are gold? Today, this message is not easy to talk about. It's not easy for me to talk about. But we ask the Lord for his mercy. We must enter into this. If today you are not this, on that day you won't be this. If today you are not pearl, then when the kingdom comes, you won't be pearl. You won't miraculously become a pearl on that day, right? In our concept, we thought, well, today if I just diligent, I labor, I pay the price, I give up something for the Lord, you know, we give us quite a lot for the Lord, right? From certain aspect, yes, some have given a lot, even more than what we have given up for the Lord. We thought the more you have given up, the more you will have reward. Well, we couldn't really say anything about that, but how about you? Have you changed after you have given up? Do you have gold? Are you pearl? Have you died completely? If Christ is to be formed within me, I must breathe my final breath. Live within the cross shadow. Put my soul life ever to death. I ask you to memorize it. Now you hear me. Now you understand. Here it says, live within the cross shadow. Not that one time. Not occasionally. But daily in the Chinese. It's a daily live within the cross shadow. Put my soul life ever to death. Oh, if God through the eternal spirit, you know, yesterday and today, we all have talked about this, the mingled spirit. The mingled spirit is the secret. The mingled spirit is the key. I will add, by the way, Brother Lee, when he come to 1906, he was cared very, very much for the saints who experienced the organic salvation. He wrote a very important banner. He said, in God's salvation, Christ is the center. The body of Christ is the line. The goal is the new Jerusalem. And it's all accomplished by the life-giving spirit. All accomplished by the life-giving spirit. In 1906, after he talked about this, then in April, he talked about the divine mystical realm. Of course, the co-inherence of the Trinity became the, it was the divine mystical realm. That's not the realm we can enter in. But after he passed through all the process, and when he became a consummated spirit, he became the pneumatic Christ. And now he's in us. So in that day, you will know that I'm in my Father, you are in me, and I'm in you. Our Brother Lee said, when the spirit being in us is the totality of the Trinity in us, how can we be brought into him? Because he has consummated, become the consummated life-giving spirit. Today, he's the pneumatic Christ. So in that message, Brother Lee, if you pay attention, in the divine mystical realm, he not only talk about the spirit as the consummated spirit, the pneumatic Christ, becoming the divine mystical realm, the realm that we can enter in, but in that message, he also say that the spirit is with our spirit is the key to God's organic salvation. His burden is not finished yet. Then in Memorial Day conference, he went on to say that spirit without spirit is the secret of God's organic salvation. In the same year, toward the end of the year, 1906, toward the end of the year, he talked about the humanity of Christ and the complete the salvation of God, the organic aspect of God's complete salvation from the book of Romans. He said again, the spirit with our spirit mingled together as one, as the mingled spirit for us to reign in life through the abundance of the gift of righteousness and grace. Then he talked about reigning in life equaling the God's experiencing Christ's organic salvation. So in this hymn, stanza 3 said, if God through the eternal spirit nail me ever with the Lord, only then as death is working will his life through me be poured. This hymn I have memorized for 20 some years. I never forget. Since that time, he said, there's one hymn you must memorize. That is this hymn, 631. Today, as we are coming here, Brother Ho said to us, he saw two sisters is memorizing the outline, memorizing the high truth. He shared with us, he said, this training is quite successful. I will challenge you, memorize 631. 631. How about this? Memorize this hymn. Memorizing is not the key thing here. But you as you sing it, you need to pay attention. Why the brotherly ask us to memorize? Why? Because there is a living. Actually, that day when he shared about this, he testified to us in those 3 months he was in sickness. He often received the shining from the Lord. This is 1994. You don't be confused. This is Brother Lee speaking to us from February to May in 1994. He said during that 3 months of sickness, he often was shined on by the Lord. He said such high peak, these high truths are all released by him, but he himself, how much reality he had. He said he often confessed to the Lord almost every day, frequently, often confess his sin. And then he said, all my confessing is not the immoralities, the this or that. It's not what most people consider sins. But he gave example. For example, oftentimes when I want to praise Sister Lee, the word just came to the tip of his tongue. But then he realized that was from his natural life. So he just confessed that to the Lord. Then he went on. He gave a very practical illustration. He said, according to my observation, he said, none of you live this life. There's about a dozen of us there at that time. He said, 99% of you did not live this. That means 99% of your daily life, you don't live this. Then how can you be pearls? If 99% we don't live this kind of life, then when the Lord come back, you will become pearls? Today, this is my main point today. Then he said, Let me repeat. But Lee said, according to his observation, 99% of your living is not this kind of living. That is death, completely death, completely dead to you, and allowing life to live out of you. He said, even that 1% is not clear. At that time, we feel even funny, even this somewhat funny. Have we received the light? Have we received the light? The Lord, through his servant, is like a strong, great light shining on us. Today, this afternoon, we had this opportunity. This time, we are not just here to give messages. This time, we are on application. I will say again, today, if you are not pearls, then for sure, when the Lord comes, it won't be pearls. It depends on when how you live now. At the end of your, when you finish your course, if you are still not pearls, then you won't be pearls. You won't be pearls. Is that right, brothers, sisters? This is a very serious matter. Let me say again. Our brother Lee, toward the end of his ministry, he paid much, much attention to our living, whether or not you're living. He emphasized that how your destiny will be it will be determined by your living today. Your living will determine your destiny. He talked about becoming, living out, working out the New Jerusalem. How can we become the New Jerusalem? Oftentimes we say, oh, consummating the New Jerusalem. We never thought that we're not becoming the New Jerusalem. If we are not becoming the New Jerusalem, how can we be the New Jerusalem in that day? We thought this is just about future. But we must bring the future to today. If we are not if your present is not for future, then you won't be New Jerusalem. Of course, the Lord has 1,000 years. In the Lord's recovery, we don't want to be in that outer darkness of 1,000 years. We want to be the New Jerusalem when the Lord comes back. We don't want to wait for that 1,000 years. So today's burden is that we want to share this main point with you. This time, I feel that the subject this time is very good. The interpretation, the application of the interpretation of the New Jerusalem. This is what Brother Lee released in 1995. I believe it was May or November during a conference, whether it either is a Memorial Day or Thanksgiving conference. The application of the interpretation of the New Jerusalem to the seeking believers. If you are not seeking, you won't be this. You won't be this. Recently, because of Memorial Day conference, it was on Paul's experience, especially on Philippians 3. Actually, Philippians 3 is Paul's seeking to live a life that is according to his vision. We all know that on the way to Damascus, he asked the Lord, who are you? The Lord said, I'm the Jesus who you persecuted. Strictly speaking, he did not persecute the one in heaven. He persecuted the Jesus callers. But that vision controlled him. How can believers be Jesus? If believers are not Jesus, why would he say, why do you persecute me? Me. Obviously, the believers are me. So believers must be Jesus, must be Christ. So he was a seeker of Christ. If I'm not Christ, then the heavenly voice won't say me, right? It won't say me. So he pursued this Christ. He diligently pursued. He longed to be found in Christ. That he said, I may know him, that the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death. If we are not put to an end, what we live is ourselves. Only when we're put to an end, we can live Christ. He desired to be found in Christ. What is he pursuing? He's pursuing to become Christ. He's pursuing to be Christ because he saw that vision. He said he realized he must be Christ. Is that right, brothers and sisters? That vision control him completely and so accurately so that he did not live the righteousness of the law. He lived the righteousness which is out of God and based on faith, which is the righteous faith, which is the righteousness of God. This is to live Christ. This is not to live the law, which is the righteousness of the law. That's why he said to me to live is Christ. If you consider his experience, that is the practice of his vision. It is the application of his vision. It's the living out of his vision. That's his experiences. You know, Brother Lee, his ministry in 1997, except that Chinese New Year conference, after that conference, he could no longer give messages. Then in the intro of that year, he gave the subject. But a few blending brothers gave the wrote out the content of that subject and read it to him. The subject was given by Brother Lee. The highest point of the apostle's life and work, which is to live out and work out the New Jerusalem. Today, in 2,000 years, which Christian will give this subject, give out this subject? Who will give this subject? If it's not because him, Brother Lee, has such a understanding of the mystery of the Bible, that the whole Bible is nothing else but, as what he said at the end of his ministry, he said, throughout 70 years, my ministry, what I see is just the New Jerusalem. This is my only ministry. This is my only message. He saw that. He saw this. He lived this. And the apostles lived this. So he follows the apostles to also live this. Today, he wants what he saw, what he lived, he wants to share that with us. The life, the highest point of the apostle's life and work, which is to live out and work out the New Jerusalem. If we don't live out the New Jerusalem, then you won't be the New Jerusalem. If you don't, your workout is your living out, right? Your living out and your working out is your building the New Jerusalem. Now we come to the content of this message. Actually, by this sharing, you should have become clear what the burden is. Now, the outline is very short. It's probably the shortest outline of this training. It's so short, but it's not simple. Not simple. It's not simple. I have studied Brother Lee's ministry, whether in life studies or in the New Testament conclusions. When he talked about the pearls, in other places, he wrote a lot on. But here, he did not spend much. You know, he liked to talk about 3x4, the God man mingling. But this time he didn't talk about that. Just this short outline, we ask the Lord for his mercy that here we will receive the light. We will be enlightened here. We will, I would even say, a kind of shining, a kind of realization. If this time we can be awoken. It may change our life, may change our Christian life. Then I would say that that's why this training, Brother Minoru, why did he give this subject? Let me share with you. This February, when he came to Taiwan, he also talked about the New Jerusalem with us. He talked about the nature of the New Jerusalem. 1, 2, 3, he gave us 20 points in the whole co-workers meeting. In every meeting, he was talking about the New Jerusalem. Now the brothers pay much attention. Today, we should have the reality of New Jerusalem. Today, we should apply our interpretation, our knowledge of the New Jerusalem. Today, we should live out the New Jerusalem so that we will be the New Jerusalem, so that we are the New Jerusalem. So when the kingdom comes, you and I, we will be built, we will be the pillars built into God's house. We won't go out anymore. We will be the New Jerusalem. Okay, we'll come to message two, its gates. I'd like to read you the verses first. This is Revelation 21, 12 to 13 and 21. Let me read you the verses first. If you have the Bible, if you have the verses, you can read Revelation 21, 12, verse 12. The name inscribed, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the sons of Israel. 12b, this on the 12 gates. The gates have the names inscribed, the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. They represent the law, just as the apostles represent grace. On the east, 3 gates. On the north, 3 gates. On the south, 3 gates. On the west, 3 gates. Verse 21a said, and the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each one of the gates was respectively of one pearl. And then he said, this such a huge pearl is not something from the earth. This is a symbol, right? And even more, Revelation chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, John said, God gave the revelation of Jesus Christ to John by what? Made it known by signs, showing him what must quickly take place. So there's much signs, many signs. For example, in chapter 1, the golden lampstand, that's a sign, isn't that? That signifies the church. That's not talking about physical lampstand. Then 7 stars, they are the 7 messengers. How can we be stars, be likened to stars? It's a sign. Chapter 2, the Jezebel. Jezebel is a sign. So there are many, many signs, even overcomers in chapter 12. Oh, the bright universal woman, that is a sign. The main child is a sign. So you must understand it's signs. If you read Revelation, you don't understand the sign, you don't understand the book. I won't get into the details here. The greatest ultimate sign is the New Jerusalem. So when you study the New Jerusalem, you must realize the pearls are signs. Since it's a sign, then what does God want to reveal to you? That's what we want to get into today. Each gate is a pearl. It's a pearl. Okay, we'll stop the scripture reading here. Now we come to point, remember point one. Its gates are pearls. A, signifying the issue of the secretion of Christ, redeeming and life-releasing death, and his life dispensing resurrection. Since it's a sign, we must find out the meaning of the sign. How is pearl produced? It is the oyster entering into the dead water, and then there is the grain of sand came into the oyster and wounded the oyster. So, and it dwelt within the oyster. So the oyster produced two kinds of secretion. First, it signifies the redeeming and life-releasing death of Christ. Because Christ on the cross, when he was nailed there, out of his side came for blood and water. Blood is for redemption. Water is for releasing life. Not only so, we also need to realize his life dispensing resurrection, life releasing death and life dispensing resurrection. If that sand, cannot receive the dispensing, it will not become a pearl. This time in the crystallization study, I don't know if you pay attention, the garment living, actually tomorrow morning we will talk about the garment living. Garment living depends on two. In first, you are in Christ. Second is Christ is in you, living in you. That's the two ins. These are the two keys to the garment living. Let me read to you. This time, the summer training message 5. There's an outline. When you go back, you should find the outline. It says, our Christian life is a Christian life in Christ. That is, we are in the oyster. And then also a life that the life of the Christ who is in us. So who is in who? He is in us. And also, we are in Christ as the mold, and he is in us as our life. Have you see this? This message 5, room number 1, point B2. He is in us and we are in him. So Christian life is a life in Christ and also a life of Christ in us. It's a life of two ins. We need experiencing these two aspects. On the one hand, we're in him to experience his redeeming and life-releasing death, the secretion of that. On the other hand, when you're experiencing as the Spirit, he's the life-giving Spirit, he is the resurrected Christ, he's dispensing his secretion. So the Christian life is a life of this two secretion. It's a life of this twofold secretion. When Bodily interpret the Bible, he said, if you don't understand this, you don't know the Bible. You don't know the Bible. Are you clear now? We must know this. I hope that I'm clear. You must abide in Christ and also let he impart life into you. You're in him is to be in him as the mold, taking him as the pattern to be conformed to his death. But he's in you, is he as a spirit, is he as a life-giving spirit, is he as the resurrected Christ in you to conform you to the image of the firstborn son. One is to conform to his death, the other is conform to the image of God's firstborn son. I'd like to also read some verses to you. This is from the verses from the summer training. Brother Lee here gave us three verses concerning these two ings. It's all from 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30 says, but of him you are in Christ Jesus. Who is in who? We are in him. Then 2 Corinthians 5, 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, who is in who? We are in Christ. We are in Christ. And then 12, 2, he says, I know a man in Christ. A man in Christ. This is Paul talking about himself. He hid himself. He said he knew that person was he, but he didn't reveal that. Paul's characteristic is that he is in Christ. In Christ, pay attention to these three ins. These are the in Christ as the mode to be conformed to his death. Today, we must know the Bible. Today, I'd like to share with you. Brother Lee, when he interpreted the Bible, it was so accurate. Oh, so accurate. If we are careless, then we didn't pay attention to this. We have let these things go. We must be clear. We are in Christ. On the other hand, he is in us. It's from right here, from this outline. First is Colossians 1:27. Christ in us as our hope of glory. How can we have the hope of glory? Because he is in us, right? Number two, we are very familiar, Galatians 2:20. Paul testified that now it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Christ lives in me, right? And then Romans 8:10, he said, but if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, spirit is life because of righteousness. Have you paid attention to this? So we are in Christ. Christ is also in us. Now I want to come back to the outline. So both kinds of secretion dispensing require the seeking believer's daily experience of the death of Christ subjectively by the power of Christ's resurrection, that they may be conformed to the death of Christ, and their daily experience of the resurrection of Christ subjectively by the bountiful supply of the Spirit, the reality of resurrection of Jesus Christ, that they may be conformed to the image of the firstborn Son of God. This is so concise. So succinct, one word, but tells a lot, a whole lot. I'd like you, brothers and sisters, to pay attention that this time, in message 5 of the summer training on garment living, because this pearl gate pearl is about the garment living. All the experiences are here. It's the experience of the garment living. It's right here in the pearl. So all brothers and sisters should know. Ephesians chapter 4, there it says, we should learn according to the reality which is in Jesus. What is that reality in Jesus? That is our Lord in the four gospel, the life that he lived, the life that he had. Is that reality? Is that he live out that reality? And today we need to learn that. We need to learn Christ according to that. And of course, according to our natural man, we cannot learn. So it says Christ has set out a pattern for us. We need to follow his footsteps. Many people misunderstand this. The pattern is about the mode today. It's the mode. If you read Philippians 3, we are conformed to his death. That is, his death is a mode. We are like the dough. We are in a mold. So we need to know what was Lord Jesus living on the earth. Otherwise, we may learn, but we may learn the just according to the result. He is humble. We want to be humble. Actually, we cannot be humble, right? But when the Lord was on the earth, one crucial point is that he did not lay himself. He did not lay himself. The humanity he put on was sinless, but he did not lay himself. When God created man, what is the purpose of God's creating man? Is that man will live. Man is just a vessel. God should be the content. So the proper man should be one who live God, right? So when the Lord was on the earth, he did not speak his own words. He did not do his own work. He did not seek after his own will. He only sought the Father's will. He did not seek his own glory, but only the glories of the Father. Within him, Satan has no opportunity, no possibility, no position. The self is the outlet of Satan. So he did not give Satan no chance, no ground, no opportunity, no whatsoever possibilities. That was the model he set up on the earth. So bodily to the end of his life, he loved to talk about this. He paid much attention to it. He said, this model is the prototype. It's a prototype. We understand model, but we may not understand prototype. You know, in a factory, in order to produce something, he must have the model first. Christ, when he was on the earth, the life he lived on the earth was a model. And you're like the bread, right? You want to be in a certain shape. He is the mold. You need to be put into him to be shaped according to him. He cannot do that just unilaterally. He also need to be in resurrection to become the spirit reality, to guide us into it. He need to become the like in his spirit to what? To conform us to the image of the firstborn son, the image of firstborn son. So he needs these two aspects for us to be formed. So Pearl also speak of these two aspects. On the one hand, it is we in him, taking him as the mold. On the other hand, he is in us as our life. Amen. Through these two aspects, this twofold secretion, then we can be produced as pearls. We can have this issue. Now, let us look at our living. I receive much light. I also feel all of us, brothers and sisters, we really need to receive light on this. We don't live this life. We need the Lord's mercy. Our life is too casual. When we meet our acquaintances, we are too casual. Those who are familiar with, we're too casual with them. Well, a sister came to Brother Lee. He said, Brother Lee, when I have no children, I never lose temper. But these days, I lost so much temper. He asked Brother Lee what to do. And you see what Brother Lee said? He said, go have another kid. Bear another kids, otherwise you don't know how terrible you are. Did you realize that this is you too? When you are single, you thought you were good. You don't lose temper that much. You are more restrained. If you don't you're not restrained, otherwise you have been cast away. So those who are the rude one, otherwise, they cannot succeed in society. They cannot have a good job. But let me tell you, in your marriage life, are you restrained? You are not restrained. You're unrestrained. you're unrestrained. Is that right or not? You often hear Brother Lee talk about marriage life. He also talked about his own marriage life. In this message, when he wants to say something to his wife, he even wants to lose temper with his wife. Brother Lee even talked about his own marriage life. But right away, he was shined upon. Then he went back to the study to repent, confess. Consider this. How about your marriage life? How about your church life? I have said that I'm not just speaking about you. I include myself. We are all failures. May the Lord have mercy. How about through this training this time, the training this time, and also through the summer training, we already talked about this, that we all have a thorough awakening about being enlightened. And we really need to wake up. If we don't wake up, then we live a Christian life in vain. And what a pity that we're in the Lord's recovery. We often say, oh, thank the Lord, we are in the Lord's recovery. Then I will say, what a pity you are in the Lord's recovery. You are still like this. What a pity. Even more pitiful that we're still like this. How do you feel about this? Roman number 2, it's entry. A, such an entry into the New Jerusalem to partake of the tree of life has been established by Christ through his death and resurrection, fulfilling the righteous. Here again is two aspects, fulfilling the righteous requirements of God according to the law of Israel, because on the gates they are the name of the 12 tribes. We already saw that in the verses that represent the law. In other words, in order to pass through that gates, the law is there guarding. If you do not fulfill the righteous requirement of law, you cannot enter in. So Brother Lee said, oftentimes we often have negative view on the law, but here the law is very positive. If you are not up to the requirement of the law, you cannot enter in. The law is there guarding the gate. Even the angel is there watching. Is the serving spirits is working for us who are inheriting the salvation. They are the serving spirits, ministering spirit. May the Lord have mercy on us that we will fulfill the righteous requirement of the law so we can enter in. Here it says, the death and resurrection of Christ fulfilled the righteous requirement of God according to the law of Israel in the Old Testament, so that the close way to the tree of life is reopened to the seeking believers. In Revelation 22, he said, those who wash their robes are blessed. They can have authority to the tree of life. Compare that to Genesis 3, when Adam fell, God used cherubim and the turning sword of flame to guard the tree of life, so that man was cut off from the tree of life. Without Christ's death and resurrection, this way will not be open. Because cherubim signify God's glory. The sword signifies God's righteousness. And the flame signifies God's holiness. We are all sinners. We have violated against God's holiness. There's no righteous man, not even one. We are unrighteous, right? We have offended God's righteousness also. And we all sin, fall short of God's glory. So none of us can fulfill that requirements, God's requirement of holiness, righteousness, and glory. But thank the Lord, when he was on the earth, he said, don't think that I come to abolish the law, but and the prophets, I come to fulfill them. How did he fulfill them? How did he fulfill them? Number one, he lived a life on the earth that was absolutely, completely according to God's requirement. fully fulfill God's requirement so that he could be the Lamb of God. Don't think, oh, by his coming, he can go to the cross. If he did not live out such a life on the earth that's required by God, he couldn't be that Lamb of God. Don't think he just by being the Son of God, he can be the Lamb of God. Don't think just by becoming a man, he can be the Lamb of God. He on the earth, he lived 33 years of human life to live out God's attribute through his human virtues. Why did Brother Lee emphasize this in his ministry? Today, I hope you, brothers and sisters, you need to pay attention to this. Even Christ living this way, only by this he could be the Lamb of God to go to the cross for us. And when he was on the cross, the veil in the temple was split from top to bottom in half. That opened up the way that originally God couldn't enter, man couldn't enter in, the Holy of Holies. This is Christ's death. But we also need his resurrection. How did he fulfill the law? That is, again, he's through his death and through his resurrection life, he came into us. He came into us to be the law, the spirit of light will set us free. Not only set us free from sin, but also set us from ourselves, from our temperament, from our temper. We often only apply this to what we think the base sins, the gross sin. We don't apply that to our daily life. Only by his living, his coming in this way, he fulfilled the law. It is through his death and resurrection, he opened the way for us to enter into God. And then what he's doing in us is for us to abide in him for him to abide in us, because we must be that pearl, and the pearl is the entry. Entry is not just Christ. It's not just Christ. We must become that. Through his death and resurrection, through our being conformed to his death, through him as the resurrected Christ dispensing himself into us. This is what brothers encourage us to live moment by moment in the spirit, to pray unceasingly. Not to ask for anything, but very simply, Lord, I need to be joined to you. In the divine mystical realm, the prayer is not to ask something. The prayer is not even, like Brother Lee said, even not for pursuing Christ, not out of piety, but for no other reason but being one with him. To exercise your spirit, to live in the mingled spirit, to live in oneness with him. There must be an entry. We must be this. This will be the entry. Let me go on in the outline. I need to speak more on the point later. The reopened way to partake of the tree of life by entering into New Jerusalem is universally available to the four directions of the earth, with three gates on each of the four sides of the holy city, signifying that the process and consummated triune God is willingly open to receive the repentant sinners into the ultimate consummation of his eternal economy. See how this outline is written. It's not just for us to come into him, but he receives us into his consummation. Brother Lee, pay much attention to this word consummation, to enter into his ultimate consummation. You need to study the outline in this way. Pay attention to these words. There are three gates on each side. These three gates speak of the triune God is willing to receive the repentant sinners into the ultimate consummation, into the New Jerusalem. When we read Matthew 28:19, it says, when we preach the gospel, we need to baptize them into the name of the Father, Son, and the Spirit. Right here, Brother Lee, he said, this is to receive into the New Jerusalem. God's economy is to receive you into the New Jerusalem. It's the triune God, by his coming out in eternity past, becoming a man, accomplishing redemption, now in resurrection, he is bringing us into the experience of the pearl. This is to bring us into the consummation of the New Jerusalem. Then Luke 15 gave us the illustration of this completely. Luke 15, you saw the shepherd finding the lost sheep, the woman found the lost coin, and we saw the father receive the prodigal son, right? Christ was that seeker, seeking one. The Spirit is the sanctifying, enlightening one to sanctify us, to enlighten us, so we will repent. And the Father is the one receiving what the Son has found, what the Spirit has enlightened and caused to repent, and Father received them into home. Then he gave us the best robe, signifying Christ as our judicial for our redemption, for us to be justified. Then he also put the ring on us so that we may completely belong to God. Then he also gave us the sandals so that we may be separated from the earthly defilement. Then he gave us the fattened calf so that we can have the subjective experience, the metabolism, that we may be transformed. This is the triune God working together to bring sinners, receive the sinners into the consummation of his eternal economy. Then, so the three gates on each side. That means to the north, south, west, east. It's very convenient. There are three gates on each side, all four sides. Now I share a little bit burden here. I don't know. I won't ask you to raise your hand. You, the couples, is your spouse saved? I contact many brothers and sisters. Many brothers and sisters. They say, oh, impossible, impossible. Others are possible, but not my husband or wife. Now I will say today, are you the pearl? If you are pearl, you are the gate. You are the gate. Have you lived a life conformed to Christ's death? Do you live a life conformed to the image of the firstborn son of God? Here, he said the gates are open, convenient to the whole earth. It's easy for your spouse to get saved because he's right next to you. He's right next to you. He is just right next to you, your spouse. But too bad, you are not the gate. You're not the gate. I'm sorry. I'm not condemning anybody. But I heard so many brothers and sisters say, they all say the same thing. Recently, in my locality, two things happened. One is simple. A sister recently, she came into Lord's recovery for six months, but he has been saved for 40, 50 years. Now, recently, she's touched by the Lord. She wants to join the middle age training. She has been with us for 4 or 5 months. I asked, how about your husband? Is he safe? She's answered. He said, no possibility. Impossible. He said, impossible. Then he said, we will pray for him. I said, we'll pray for him. He said, oh, no way. Not possible. But he came for one gospel meeting. Actually, I believe this husband, how did he come? Maybe the pearl, there's a little bit of pearl there, a little pearl form. I'm not just saying this carelessly. Another story happened where I am. A couple, they are divorced. They are not together. But the kids live with the father. It has a good relationship with the mother also. But the father has a terminal illness. He passed away. His kids ask his mother, the the kids begged the mother that she would come to help, to come back to help us, not to help the father, but help us in the last few years of his husband. Now the wife loved the Lord, is a sister, go preach the gospel often, but her response was surprising, that she agreed to come back to help, but after a few months, he was baptized and into the Lord. The husband was baptized and then died 2 years later, 1 or 2 years later. Why I share this? Well, how come you are not pearl? The Bible says the pearl is the gate. The gate is the pearl. We often say, oh, it would be the best if this brother come to preach the gospel to my husband. We always expecting others to preach the gospel to our family member. Our brother said, no, it should be you. It should be you, right? If you ask him, he will go. Of course, our brother has a large heart. Because your husband, look at you, that he wouldn't want to believe. I'm sorry. I'm not condemned. Anybody, don't think that I'm condemning people. Do you want to live a life? You want to live a life? Actually, none of us have this kind of living. Don't think that your family member are safe. Oh, thank you. My family are safe. I'm good. But is he overcoming? Is he overcoming? If he can, how come he's not overcoming? Because you are not pearl. How come he's not overcoming? Because you are not pearls. Because you are not pearls. If you are pearls, you are gates. The gates must be pearls. The triune God is open to the whole earth. It's so convenient that He has prepared. His promise is for whole household to be saved. The children of Israel, the Passover, is house by house. Each house has a lamb. The blood is put on the doorpost. It's not put on your personal forehead. It's put on the household, the door of the household. God's salvation is household by household. You shall believe, you and your household shall be saved. But we are talking about not just talking about initial salvation. We're talking about the organic salvation. We're not just talking about judicial redemption. We're talking about full salvation. Brother Lee's ministry at the end, he talked about experiencing the organic salvation equals reigning in life, in Christ's life. Reigning in life is the highest point. So eventually, he said, in the Lord's recovery, we only do one work, that is to we'll make the regenerated ones, the sanctified ones, the transformed one, conformed one, one layer, one level after level, until there's no flesh, no natural man. We're all in the kingdom of heavens. We're all in the New Jerusalem. We're becoming the New Jerusalem. Again, you see, that's what he said. God's salvation is a complete salvation. Not just regenerating, not just for us to have initial salvation, but it has to with our daily life. It's for our daily living. Every day, our daily life. It has a lot to do with our daily life. May the Lord bless us. I think I have released the burden for this message. I hope that through your sharing later on in your groups, you have more fellowship. Receive the light and be awoken, repent. Well, we hope that through this training, all the brothers and sisters, we will have a turn. May the Lord have mercy on us.